And tonight we will be looking at the characteristics of true wisdom. The characteristics of true wisdom from James chapter 3, beginning in verse number 13. James chapter 3, 13 through 18. James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." The Apostle Paul, instructing Timothy about pastoral ministry, writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." As we have been studying the ministry of the Apostle James throughout this epistle, we are frequently observing that he is a preacher who is of the same heart as the Apostle Paul. Throughout this epistle, we find James reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. Already he has exhorted us in chapter 1 regarding how we should respond to trials. He has warned us of the effects of sinful temptations. He has urged us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. He has reproved us regarding our sinful practice of partiality. He has cautioned us regarding who we should allow as teachers among the church. He has rebuked us regarding the things that we say with our tongue. And as we examine verses 13 through 18 tonight, we will find that James is calling on us to examine whether we have spiritual wisdom or earthly wisdom, true wisdom or counterfeit wisdom. And we might ask the question here at the beginning of the message, why is James preaching on so many hard subjects? Why does he seem to be so firm? Why does he just relax a little bit? I mean, come on. It's one after the other after the other. Why can't he be like the preacher in Texas with the large smile and white teeth, and why can't he speak on something positive for a change? Why is he pressing with so many uncomfortable topics? Some of you are still trying to figure out the teacher that I referenced. You can come to me after the message and I'll tell you. James knows that the only way that the people of God are going to mature in their faith and remain pure in their life is by frequently addressing that which the congregation is struggling with. He is not preaching to a different congregation. He is preaching to those who are scattered abroad, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he knows his audience. And he is seeking that these people might be pure, that these people that he is speaking to might be accepted before God, that they might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they have been called. And James is not ultimately interested in having a numerically large church or a church that is entertaining. No, James desires a mature and pure church where God is exalted and people grow spiritually. And thus he preaches as his half-brother Jesus Christ preached, firm, yet clothed with love, speaking the truth in love. I once heard a preacher say, soft preaching produces hard people, and hard preaching produces soft people. What he meant was soft preaching, that preaching which coddles people and tells them that they are good, and everything's okay, that kind of preaching will only produce a people that are hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Why? Because they're never confronted with their sin. They're never confronted with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But hard preaching, preaching that confronts sin, preaching that confronts the backslider with their backsliding, preaching that does not tickle ears, but presses the heart and seeks to stir the conscience, is preaching that will produce a humble and godly people. What did the Lord say through the prophet Jeremiah about his word in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Well, what does fire do? Fire burns. What does a hammer do? A hammer breaks. So the truths of God's word is supposed to cause a burning within our hearts. It's called conviction. And such conviction is meant to purify and to make us more like Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is supposed to break the rocks of sin in our life like a hammer so that we might live a life of holiness before God and others. And here in our text, we find the Apostle James once again confronting us with God's truth so that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verses 13 through 18, we find James contrasting two kinds of wisdom, spiritual wisdom and earthly wisdom, wisdom that is from God and wisdom that is from the devil, true wisdom and counterfeit wisdom. And tonight I would like to spend our time unraveling the characteristics of true wisdom. Now, before we look into these characteristics, I want you to ask yourself, as we go through these characteristics, ask yourself, examine yourself, and ask these questions. Do I exhibit this true wisdom James is speaking of? Am I a possessor of these characteristics? If others were to speak truthfully about me, would they say that I am an individual who has wisdom that comes from God? I want you to ask yourself those questions as we move through these characteristics. And we must remember what James told us in James chapter 1. It is of no spiritual good if we merely hear God's truth and fail to apply them to our life. We must be doers of God's word and not hearers only, lest we deceive ourselves. James, instructing us about true wisdom that comes from God, gives us 8 characteristics that are manifest in those who are truly wise in the sight of God. 8. Aren't you happy that I'm sticking with just true wisdom and not looking into false wisdom tonight? 8 characteristics. The first characteristic we read of is found in verse 13. We see that true wisdom is meek. James says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him, the wise man, let him show out of good conversation, a good lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom." And we see first that true wisdom is meek. The word meekness in the Greek speaks of being gentle and humble. Commentator Adam Clark expresses meekness as mildness, indulgence toward the weak and erring, patient suffering of injuries without feeling a spirit of revenge, an even balance of all tempers and passions, the entire opposite of anger. John Gill describes meekness as enduring insults, reproaches, and indignities of men with calmness. And James is saying, if you want to see what true wisdom looks like, look at the man or woman who is gentle and humble. Look at the one who, like Joseph, is patient and prayerful, enduring the wrongdoing done to them gracefully. What is meekness? Meekness is power under control. It is like a wild Mustang running wild through the desert, but that wild Mustang being tamed, that power is under control. And the wise man is one who has power under control. And true wisdom is not seen in the one that is puffed up, egotistical, full of themselves, debating issues, seeking to win an argument for the sake of being right. No, true wisdom is found in the one who is clothed with kindness, being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's what wisdom looks like. We also see that true wisdom is pure. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. He's going to give a list here. And as he gives the list, we see the characteristics, but he mentions the characteristic of meekness in verse 13. But the second characteristic I want to bring to your attention is that it is pure. And this wisdom is a wisdom that produces a holy, separated life. And this wisdom is not conformed to the sinful pleasures of this world. It is pure in its thoughts. It is pure in its speech. It is pure in its motives. It is pure in its actions. You see, the wisdom that he is speaking of is not about an intellectual knowledge. He is not saying the wise man is the man who graduated Harvard. No. The wise man is the one who lives godly. The wise man is the one who is walking on the straight and narrow path, keeping his eyes focused and fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The true wisdom is meek. True wisdom is pure. Then he says, true wisdom is peaceable. That is, it lays aside all causes of strife and division and seeks to promote unity and love. The one who truly possesses wisdom is one who is a peacemaker, not a war maker. They endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. They say with David, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is true wisdom, wisdom that is full of peace. Wisdom that seeks to unite brothers and sisters in Christ. Not wisdom that says, well, you don't agree with me on every specific detail of doctrine, therefore you're a heretic. You're not a Baptist like I am, therefore you can't be of God. No. What did Jesus say? Well, Jesus, remember the disciples, they said, well, Jesus, we saw one casting out demons in your name. What should we do with them? Listen, he says, those who are not against us are for us. Be peaceable. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're doing a good work. True wisdom is peaceable. We also see he tells us that true wisdom is gentle. Now, gentleness is not weakness. Some people read that word gentle. The manly men's the Marines. Gentle. We're not gentle. We're Marines. But listen, Jesus Christ, the God-man, the man of all men, was a man's man, but he was gentle. So gentle that he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is of the kingdom of God. True wisdom is gentle, not harsh, not critical. True wisdom is patient. It's forbearing. With the failures of others, it is ready to forgive. It is clothed with Christ's likeness, Christ's mercy. Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what it means to be gentle. Have you ever seen a dove sticking out its fangs seeking to devour a raven? perhaps on a cartoon, but never in life. Oh no, doves are gentle. There's a pureness about them. And so James tells us that true wisdom is clothed in gentleness. True wisdom also, he says, is easy to be entreated. True wisdom is approachable. It is pleasant to be around. True wisdom is not harsh. True wisdom is not constantly thinking evil of others, but thinking the best of others. That's what it means to be easy to be entreated. And then we go on, he says, true wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. That is, true wisdom is willing to forgive, looking over the faults and failures of others. This wisdom is a wisdom that demonstrates acts of compassion like the Good Samaritan. It does good to their neighbors. It understands that God has called us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. This wisdom, full of mercy and good fruits, feeds the poor. It encourages the weak and serves for the benefits of others. This wisdom is not focused on self. Then he says that true wisdom is without partiality. True wisdom sees all people as people. All people as souls created in the image of God. True wisdom does not separate others based on the color of their skin, their yearly income, their personality, their gender, their age or nationality. True wisdom is loving to all. It is without partiality. James has already warned us about this, has he not? When there comes in one in the congregation, the one who's rich, the one who drives up in the Mercedes, the one with the silk suit, and you say, hey, come on forward, we have a special spot for you. And then the one walks through the other door with his rags, he's sleeping in the streets, he smells like the sewer, and you say, yeah, bud, we have a special spot for you too, way in the back. He says, don't be partial. Don't judge based on outward appearance. And we see that true wisdom is without partiality. And then he says that true wisdom is without hypocrisy. True wisdom does not pretend. It does not dress up to impress on Sundays and act sinfully Monday through Saturday. True wisdom does not look different behind closed doors. The wisdom that is from above is sincere, genuine. What you see is what you get throughout the whole week. There are no tricks, no smoke and mirrors, no hiding behind sheep's clothing. True wisdom has a conscience void of offense before God and men. It is without hypocrisy. These are eight characteristics of true wisdom. Again, true wisdom is not found in the intellect. True wisdom, James is saying, is found in one's lifestyle. You can have PhDs behind your name and be the most foolish person in the world. You can never graduate high school and be the wisest man in the world. True wisdom reveals itself through one's actions. That's what James is saying. It is seen through the interactions of everyday life. And these characteristics, these eight characteristics, are fruits of the true believer. And the wisdom that is of God is the wisdom that comes from the saving message of the gospel that brings life to the individual. Now don't miss this. This is beautiful. If you were here Wednesday night, I told you, when you read the Scriptures, when you studied the Scriptures, look for Christ. If you don't look for Christ when you're studying the Scriptures, your devotions are going to be dull. We serve a person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't read just to obtain factual historical accounts. We read to feast on Christ, our Savior. So see what James is doing here. James is setting before us Christ. And who is Christ? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul tells us in Colossians that in Him, Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So looking at the characteristics again, what do we see? We see Christ. Look at them again with me. Follow along. Christ was meek. Oh, consider his earthly ministry. Consider how he dealt with men. He was full of power. He had all power in heaven and in earth, but his power was under control. Christ was falsely accused. He was arrested, beaten, scourged, spit upon, mocked, yet he held back from retaliating. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus Christ on the cross could have called down 10,000 of angels to destroy the ungodly, but he didn't. Why? Because he was meek. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? Because I am lowly and meek. I am not going to pound you for your sin. No, you come to me for forgiveness. I am going to forgive you of your sin. Christ was meek. See, go through the list. Christ was pure. He was perfectly holy. His motives were pure. His words were pure. His actions were pure. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was never caught in a sinful rage. Jesus Christ never was caught speaking a sinful word. Jesus Christ was pure and 100% sinless. See also the wisdom of God in Christ. Christ was peaceable. He is called by the prophet Isaiah the Prince of Peace. He is sought to be at peace, seeking in his life to be at peace with others. His message was a message of inward, spiritual, eternal peace through himself. He was peaceable. Also, he was gentle. Consider how kind he was to his enemies. How gentle he was to the ignorant disciples, to his erring disciples who questioned and doubted him. Christ was gentle towards sinners. Never sinfully cruel, never sinfully harsh, never without a loving spirit. And even in his severity, Jesus Christ was gentle. Some people say, well, wait a second. Jesus Christ is gentle. Didn't he call the Pharisees snakes, hypocrites, whitewashed tombs? Yes, but he was doing it for their own good. He could have opened the ground and swallowed them up alive. He's confronting their hearts and their conscience. And we forget that even in a reproof, there's a way to be gentle and caring in spirit. Christ was also easy to be entreated. He was always approachable. He was approachable by a lost man in John chapter 3 by the name of Nicodemus. He was approachable by a lost publican, that wee little man named Zacchaeus. There you go, you're awake. He was approachable by prostitutes, by the diseased, by the lame, by the blind, the deaf. He was approachable by parents who were concerned for their children. Oh, he was easy to be entreated. Christ was full of mercy and of good fruits. Jesus Christ went about doing good. He did not live for himself, but he lived for the Father. He lived for the well-being of others. He was a merciful and faithful high priest. When crucified, he demonstrated mercy by crying out to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ was without partiality. To read the Gospels is to read of a Savior who preached and healed both Jew and Gentile, young and old. rich and poor, religious and sinful, healthy and sick. Christ was never partial. He ate with Pharisees, but he also ate with publicans and sinners. He called not only fishermen to follow him, but also tax collectors. He was without partiality. And also Christ was without hypocrisy. He was never a double-minded man. His life never contradicting his teaching. There was no pretense, no mask. He was sincere, honest, and trustworthy. And even Pilate expressed that he could find no fault in the life or lips of Jesus. Don't you see the beautiful picture here that James is giving us in Christ? So what is James saying? James is saying Jesus Christ is the manifestation of true wisdom. So to conclude, he is saying that the more Christ-like we become, the more we will exhibit these characteristics in our life. See Christ and all that He is in these characteristics, and we are called to live out Christ to the world. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what Paul says, Galatians 2, chapter 20. We are to live out Christ. And as we are abiding in Christ, these are the characteristics that will become in our life. It's almost like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience. You go through the list, they're right here. The man or woman walking in the Spirit, this is what it looks like. And James is saying, the mature Christian, the Christian that is spiritually minded, the Christian that is abiding in Christ, the Christian that is staying on the straight and narrow path, being biblical, submitting to the ordinances of God, is the Christian that is described right here, the Christian that has heavenly wisdom given from God. And this wisdom is found in the gospel. James, the author, spent many years observing true wisdom. James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, watched Christ. When his parents told him to take out the trash, there's no attitudes. Surely James was just waiting for something to happen. What's true wisdom? It's Christ. So let me ask you, are the characteristics of true wisdom manifest in your life? Think about that. Let us ask that to God. God, are these manifest in my life? And also, it is important to ask, are the characteristics of true wisdom manifest in our church? What do others think of our church? You say, well, it doesn't matter what others think of our church. Really? Are we portraying a wisdom to the world that is worthy of the gospel? Do you think the church in Corinth was demonstrating this wisdom? Do you think the church in Corinth was pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy? No. Why? Because they got their eyes off of Christ. Because they were forgetting that without charity, without Christ, they were nothing. These characteristics also boil down to our personal relationships. You say, when is the pastor going to speak on marriage? Well, I am tonight. Here it is. You want your marriage to be healthy and strong? Marriage Counseling 101, James chapter 3. True wisdom. Here it is. How do you treat your spouse? Gentleness, kindness. Is it full of mercy? How do you treat your children? Children, how do you treat your parents? How do you treat your friends? This is Biblical Counseling 101 tonight, and you didn't even know it. Are these characteristics of true wisdom manifest in our life? If not, we have reason to be concerned, because James will tell us next time that we are filled with a counterfeit wisdom, a worldly wisdom, a wisdom that is not from God. How about the people you associate with? The friends that you have? According to what James says, are they wise? Do they have the marks of heavenly wisdom? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be careful. Who you hang around is who you will become. Do you joke around with the worldlings around you at work who mock spiritual things, who want nothing to do with Christ or God's word? What kind of wisdom? See, the wisdom that is of God is the wisdom that the gospel brings. And next time we will consider the wisdom that is not from God. The wisdom that is really not wisdom at all. It is counterfeit. It's contrary to Christ and the gospel and causes great harm to the believers and to the church. James says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let's answer that. Are we? Are we counted among those who are wise or counted among those who are foolish? James says, we'll know it not by our academic achievements, not by the ability to speak with the tongues of men and of angels. No, James says, we'll know it by one's life, how they live. Joseph in Genesis, was he a wise man? Sure. Betrayed by his brothers. Brothers came, he could have destroyed them. He forgave. He's a wise man. He was one endued with this knowledge from God. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was he a wise man? Oh, yes, he was very gifted intellectually. But according to this wisdom, godly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, was he a wise man? Oh, yes, he was. And so we learn from people in the scriptures that God has highlighted to be an example for us to follow. Go through the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, and see men and women of God who possess this wisdom through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The characteristics of true wisdom, do we have it? If not, if we are lost, if you do not know Christ, let the Scriptures be the means to make you wise unto salvation. Again, there are two types of people in this world, those who are wise and those who are fools. Those building their life on Christ and those building their life on themselves and the false teachings of this world. Who are we? Let us seek to be people of true spiritual wisdom. Would you join me in prayer?